and some Rory Home for Irish football news and nostalgia. Coming up, is it Ollie at the wheel? Who knows? New Ireland manager due to be announced next week. If it's not Ollie, who do you want? Who do you think it'll be? We want to hear from you live on Lansdowne Roar. Did I mention it's live? Let's turn that music off. David Dunn here, joined by Martin Prendergast and Nick Menzies. We are live. This is Lansdowne Roar coming at you on a Sunday evening. And of course, if you like what you hear, love what you see, hit that QR code, hit that subscribe button, get over to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and also head over to our website, lansdowneroar.ie. That is lansdowneroar.ie, and we are Irish football's most interactive podcast, so we want to hear from you. Have your say, leave a comment, get involved. Anything we're talking about, if you disagree with us, you agree with us, you want to talk about something else, get involved. We will get to those comments later on. And just before we get on to the main topic, which of course is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going to be the next Ireland manager? I came in for a bit of welly for that before this. We also want to get your thoughts and your stories on the legendary Joe Kinnear, who passed away during the week there. Joe Kinnear, obviously a former Ireland international, legendary manager of the Crazy Gang, fantastic character, could have been an Ireland manager as well. So any stories you have about the legendary, wonderful Joe Kinnear, we want to hear those in the comments and we'll read them out towards the back end of the show. Right, lads. Oh, it's good to be back live, eh?
Yeah, very good. I think you might have to unmute Nick.
Oh, sorry, Nick.
Fucking hell, lads. I go away for a few weeks and then I'm muted as soon as I come back. Silence. But no, it's great to be live. It's great to be back. And yes, looking forward to getting into it.
No, 100%. And so much going on. I mean, this week, the FAI are due to announce a new manager. We hope. It'll either be Wednesday or Thursday. And by the way, we will be live on one of those days. Whatever day it is, we will be live. It might be a late one, but we will be live in some form or another. But who will it be? Of course, we're all, you know, we've had the names. We've had Lee Carsley. We've had Gus Poyet, we've had all these names, but one that came completely out of the blue the other day was this man, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Manchester United legend, babyface assassin, next Ireland manager. Who knows? He's managed three clubs: Molde, Cardiff, United. Well, Molde, then United. I really enjoyed his time at Manchester United. I just want to say. I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, he was a great player, wasn't he, Dave? And a Liverpool fan as well. But yeah, I'm. Yeah,
but as manager,
I loved his time as United as well.
But I thought he really shined as a manager, though. I thought he was brilliant. 5-0 at Old Trafford against Liverpool. Yeah, fantastic. But yeah, I mean, lads, this one is come out of left field a little bit. There's a bit of doubt over, but I mean, we don't really know at this stage. I've been accused of clickbaiting. Because I wrote the headline, is Ollie at the wheel? And people said, oh, you're clickbaiting, you are. Is it clickbait, lads? Is it going to happen? What do you think, Martin? You're dying to get in there?
Well, it did come out of left field. It was the betting market that basically told us that, that it was Ollie was in the frame and this is a bit of a shock kind of thing. And then it was linked to O'Shea, of course, things like that. The Man United link, very tenuous. But, it was a bit of a strange one. And then we were kind of guided by Andy Mitten, who I think would be very respected United stand fanzine editor. I actually love the story of Andy Mitten starting a Man United fanzine when he was 12 years old, which is done really well, writes for The Athletic now, really good journalist. Also did the opus for Man United, which is that big book.
All right, get on with
you
it.
You might not bloody have that at Liverpool. But he kind of basically said he'd been contacted by loads of Irish fans saying, is Ollie in the frame? And he said, look, he had spoke to Ollie. And that's where this story came from, of Ollie actually saying that he'd, well, being quoted as basically met with the FAI in January, but doesn't feel it's for him, and was very respectful about it as well. I think why we're talking about it tonight as well, because because Ollie being in the frame, you know, like we've been speculating, this does still feel like deja vu. We've had some people with comments already saying it feels like deja vu. Every week we've been commenting on the speculation of managers. But really, we've only had Coleman, Bruce, Lennon, obviously Carsley. No one had mentioned Ollie in January and February. So it's refreshing to see perhaps that the FAI did do as they said they did, cast the net far and wide to speak to people. But you know, we'll come out one day who they spoke to. But it's interesting to see that they went to Ollie and asked him if he was available.
Nick, what do you think? Do you think, is he at the wheel or is he on the hard somewhere in the M25?
No, I don't think he's getting the job. It's interesting, though, because the Swedish national team had a very similar long drawn out process getting their manager. And I think Ollie was very strongly linked to them, as was Graham Potter. I think it looked like Graham Potter was going to get it. And then they ended up with John Dahl-Thomason, which was very unusual. But he was linked with an international job. He was linked with the Norway job, I think, 2 years ago. He's not a bad manager. I think his time at United certainly tainted his ability as a manager. I think there was a reason they went after him. If you look at Erik ten Hag, if you look at Jose Mourinho, a host of managers have failed at Man United, and I think that's because the club is rotten to the core. So I think a lot of people questioning his ability as a manager need to kind of reflect on that a bit. He's very, very... he's a very progressive manager, very highly rated in his younger days as a development coach, and he'd be a good appointment. But I echoing what Martin said there, I'd be very on board with what Andy Mitten says, just in regards to his kind of transfer news and things he breaks from within the club. Very, very trusted source. Interesting that they spoke to him. Very, very interesting that they spoke to him. An unusual kind of profile of manager. Again, I think the big drawback with the Ireland job is going to be the whole idea that the FAI have their own in-house backroom team. Because I really don't believe that a manager worth their salt would want to work with maybe people that they're not familiar with or being told by an association. That's been tainted in the last few years. No, we're picking a backroom team for you. So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, but I mean, people are saying no, like, can't possibly be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, he's done well as a youth coach. He was youth coach of Man United. I think he won. Did he win the reserve league as well at Man United?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
And obviously, then he went to Cardiff and it was a complete disaster. I think he lasted like 20 games or 30
games.
It
was, though, but like, I'm quite defensive of Ollie's record with Cardiff as well. That was bonkers that he went there and he spoke to Fergie.
What a tribalism dripping off the lads over there. Because he's a Man United legend.
I was actually glad when he left United and how he did it, because he was being tainted with, like Nick said, it's rotten to the core United. We can see that now. Like, they've had managers since Ollie.
He's got a lot to do with that, Martin. Come on now.
I don't really think he has. He had a lot, like, there's a lot of decisions.
He was a manager for how many years? When Liverpool
ridiculous. A manager doesn't set a culture at a club anymore, let's be honest. And when Ollie first came back,
Liverpool, no?
Completely different club. Like, I mean, that was a club with no director of football. Yeah. People were saying Ollie should have been the director of football. Like, people were saying he shouldn't have been the manager. He should have come in it. And I actually think if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came in as a director of football, he would have done a better job as manager. But that's not going to happen Man United, is it? Because it's run very, very differently and very, very wrongly.
Well, I think Solskjaer, I think, is the manager there without a director of football. He is the one that has to set the tone for the club. There's no director of football.
Ollie came in and he'd done a good job, and he reset a lot of the kind of the cultures, right? And the characteristics of Man United was very missing.
He
definitely did reset, and he made it enjoyable to watch United again, and they got some good results against
United on Solskjaer.
So
the one thing I say about him, he identified problem position now, which wasn't rocket science. I mean, the three of us could have done it, or anyone could have done it, but like, he identified problem positions and he signed players. Now, some of them weren't fantastic fits, but he did identify who needed to come in. That's where I think he would have been better as a director of football. But again, like, you're a club that's rotten to the core, probably couldn't get the players he wanted, probably couldn't get the exact fit of player he wanted, but he was able to identify exactly what was wrong. The problem was he certainly didn't have the support, and he certainly
I don't think he had the personality for it either. I think he's too nice.
Possibly, yeah. I don't think that did the. If you look at some of the players now, even the players this season under Ten Hag, I think he probably set a bit of a precedent with some of those players. Marcus Rashford being one of them, Bruno Fernandes possibly being another, and that culture has kind of continued on. So that could be a big criticism of him. But I don't think, in terms of his ability as a manager and his ability as a tactician and a progressive coach, I don't think it's fair that the Man United job has tainted him the way it has. And I actually think if he was to come into the Ireland job, which he's not, I don't for a second believe he's going to be the Ireland manager. I actually think he'd be very good. I think.
I think he would be good. I think he did say there's reasons for United, the transfer targets as well. He'd done an interview with Andy Mitt, and that's why I think he's a respected kind of feedback to see was it actually feasible and was it likely ever to happen, and know that Ollie was actually interviewed. But you know, there's reasons it didn't work out. United, like I said, I was glad he kind of stepped down when he did, because he was being tainted with it and the poisonous atmosphere at United.
Rightfully so, though. He was a manager, lads, not a regular football. He was responsible.
You don't know enough about the politics and what happened at United, really. You're reading the Sun or wherever you're getting your info. I don't know.
You cheeky bastard.
As Martin said, it's best not to get into a Man United discussion here. But at the end of the day, if you look at Man City, if you look at Liverpool, they've directors of football. They're run correctly. They're run in a contemporary way. And Man United still aren't. Despite years and years of knowing what's gone wrong.
You'd still think he'd be a good fit for Ireland?
Yeah, it's Mark Hanum is the Lord and Savior. So, absolutely. No, I think he will be you've more autonomy as an international coach. You're not signing players, you're calling players up, and you are in charge of what happens on the pitch. Well, at least you hope you are. The only issue I would have, and this is where maybe things echo how things were done at United, this whole backroom team, lads, I know I haven't been on in a few weeks, but this whole backroom team is an issue. I think it's going to be an issue attracting a decent name. And if you were an experienced manager and the FAI came to you and said, you can have the job, but Glenn Whelan, who has been coaching for 2 years, has to be part of your ticket. John O'Shea, who's been coaching for about 4 years, has to be part of your ticket. Now, nothing against John O'Shea or Glenn Whelan. I mean, I don't know about Whelan, but you know, O'Shea seems to be getting good plaudits wherever he goes, despite not really staying in jobs that long. But if you're a top manager, you want to be able to bring your trusted backroom team.
Yeah,
and it's wrong if you can't, and that's going to put a lot of people off. I think that's one of the big stumbling blocks, to be perfectly honest.
I think there's a couple of stumbling blocks. Maybe that is, you know, fair enough. I do think a manager should be able to pick his own team to a degree. But obviously, if you're going to be part of a national coaching structure, a contemporary national coaching structure, that's a little bit different. Which a national association, which is obviously handcuffed due to financial restrictions, I mean, you've got to cut your cloth accordingly. But I think, as well, is another massive problem. Obviously, it's the same problem actually Liverpool are probably going to have as well with Klopp. Don't want to get into the club tribalism, lads. You lads have done enough of that.
Domestic football, eh?
But you know, I think there is obviously a dearth of talent around. You know, Lee Carsey was the obvious choice. Then maybe Anthony Barry. Those two are ruled out. It's a real dearth of choices at the moment. You know, unless you're going to get your sheepskin coat manager, you know, you're the guy who's just, I'll do it for whatever, you know, I don't care. Like I'm desperate, but that's not really what you want in charge of your national side. So I think it's going to be a real balancing act. Well, it's going to be a real balancing act for the FAI. I mean, apparently they have their man. Apparently, you know, whoever it is, they already have lined up and they haven't been able to announce. If you were to believe what Mark Canham has said, and let's not go with the conjecture. Let's not go with, you know, putting two and two together. Oh, they offered a player. Surely they had to. And he's turned him down. Apparently Chris Coleman turned him down and all this. That's, you know, apparently they do have their man, if you are to believe what Mark Hanum has said.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The only thing I can think of is I felt, and I think this has been kind of disproven from the interview he did, but I felt that they had Lee Carsley and then they lost him.
Okay.
I thought, now obviously he's come out and he said that there was a very brief conversation by the sounds of it, and he said it wasn't the time for him, he wanted to see out his contract with England. But you'd wonder, has someone taken the job and then maybe gone back in it?
Which might not be the just for parity, it might not be the FEI's fault. It could be a case of, yep,
I'm offered a club job or something.
I'm with you. And then all of a sudden they got cold feet for whatever reason. Maybe it could be the financial issue, which would be the FEI's fault, I suppose, not Mark Adams.
Yeah.
Or maybe, yeah, probably actually standing there for a club job. And you know what, lads, I might take this. And then that wasn't what
I'd be. Even at this stage, and I know they said it's not going to be John O'Shea, I still think John O'Shea is very much in the mix. But I think I said to you, maybe not in the show, but I might have said to you kind of, you know, off air, maybe messing you lads, but I think we're going to end up in that situation, because I looked at, as I mentioned, the Sweden job earlier, and it was meant to be Darren Potter, then it was meant to be Solskjaer, and they came out with John Dahl Thomason. I can see it being one that we just didn't expect, an unusual one, a strange one, maybe someone
reckon Chris Hughton. Yeah. I'm still thinking Christian, which wouldn't be that unusual and strange, but quiet, a bit of a sleeper.
What did you think of the proposed Chris Hughton team that I put out during the week?
What was it you said again? It was John O'Shea.
Very out there. So it was, and I'll give the rationale. So Chris Hughton is manager. Mm-hmm. Paul Clement is assistant manager, because he came through the FAI pathway, and that could be their tick the box to say, look, we have a coach who's come through here. He's coached Real Madrid. He's coached Chelsea. Then Stephen Reid, because he worked under Hughton, and that could be your contingency, or your what's the word I'm looking for? Not contingency plan.
Your continuity plan.
Mm-hmm. Dean Kiely, because he's familiar with the goalkeepers. He didn't exactly do anything wrong, except I suppose we conceded a lot of long-range goals, didn't we? And then... Paddy McCarthy, because he's very high. I think people underestimate the appointment of Paddy McCarthy as a caretaker. Like he's a very highly rated coach, but obviously I say John O'Shea will stay in there. But that was kind of the background team I suggested. Again, Hughton, the link with Reid and the experience that Clement had. I wouldn't have Clement as the manager, but I think as an assistant, having more of a hands-on approach. Look at the clubs he's worked at. He's worked at Madrid. He's worked at Bayern. He's worked at Chelsea. He actually worked with the Ireland under 21, so he ticks a lot of boxes. I wouldn't have him as manager though, but I think that could be a nice ticket.
I wouldn't be too mad at that. Look, if you went with Chris Hughton, which I think it will be Chris Hughton, I think that's it's got to be a sleeper one, and it's going to be one that's kind of come out of nowhere because it's a sleeper, but sort of obvious at the same time, which will be Chris Hughton. Martin, you still think John O'Shea, don't you? The only man, obviously, no, by the sounds of it, the only man you defend probably more than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I've done plenty of that tonight.
No, I think if you look at my, what's my thing? My little banner and my name. Look, you and we have no problem. I have no problem with him being it. And I think it's very highly possible that it will be him. And I think they will have John O'Shea in the back. I think the fact that it's been said that they've ruled out John O'Shea. Now, we can't really trust anything at this stage. But... the fact they've said that it won't be him, I think he's just going to be the back room. And I don't blame him for being pissed off with that. If he isn't going to be the first choice.
Little O'Shea. John.
But I think I think he does tick a lot of the boxes even. And I think he could do all right with that. That's the fucking ticket there. Media assistant job. Me and John would do a good job.
Don't you upset my John.
But I'd have no problem with either of them doing it. I don't want Lennon, obviously. We don't want... They're all gone. But Ollie wouldn't have had a problem with... I want an Irish manager, to be very honest. So I think that's really important for me. And I think Chris Hughton could get it.
FAI wants someone young and hip, I think. I think they want someone young and hip, someone contemporary. That's where I think Barry kind of came into the conversation. So somebody like that, I'd like Hughton. I don't think many people would, but I'd like Hughton. I think he ticks boxes, and with the proper backroom team who would be more hands-on than Hughton, I think he'd do very well. But I think the age profile just isn't there for the FAI or the finances either.
No, I mean... Hughton would make sense. Look, if it makes sense, and listen,
at this stage it does.
Well, it makes sense.
Carsey's out of the running.
Barry's
out of the running. Yeah. I think
financially it makes sense. Financially it makes sense. No one is going to be coming looking for Chris Hughton at the moment for a club job. So you're going to get 2 years out of him. You're going to get the campaign they want out of him. That was the other thing with Gus Poyet, that apparently the length of the contract was 4 years. They wanted to tie him in for. Any manager would want to do one, wouldn't they? 1-2 years and then the break. You know, you do a qualification campaign. And I think that's because I think you've got to get anyone coming in there worth their salt. They've got to trust the FAI. That's a big thing for me and for anyone coming in there. They've got to have that trusting relationship. Like, we have invested so much in Mark Canham's idea of this pathway. I think, Nick, what you're saying about the backroom staff, I think Chris Hughton might accept that because he's familiar with a lot of those names and people he would have worked with them. So he's thinking, okay, if they come through the pathway, I understand. Yep, I'll have them as my assistants. He'll bring in another assistant. But I just think it's unbelievable. It's crazy in a way. The other thing, Dave, just to go back to November, right, when we played Holland,
Netherlands.
Okay, all right.
Get it right.
Where did we play recently?
North Macedonia.
Yeah.
We haven't played them recently, actually, or we have never played North Macedonia. Get it right.
But when we played Netherlands recently, I was speaking to someone, and I was asking people in the bars and things like that. I don't know where you went that day, Dave.
I was in the bars with you, Martin. Yeah, probably two stones on us. I mean, from the past smoking.
Yes. But, you know, someone has said, you know, it was a thing that Carsley was asked, the FAI weren't letting him bring in his own people, so it wasn't going to go anywhere. That is something I think is relevant. Whereas we know we're going to get Hughton and John O'Shea, I think, would be accepting of that.
I honestly think when the manager is announced, we could have a situation where several people who are approached come out and say, I didn't want the backroom team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot is riding on this for Mark Canham. Listen, as long as if the appointment makes sense, right, if you can't get Lee Carsey for whatever reason, because the constraints of the backroom staff because of financial constraints, Mark Canham can't really help that. And as long as the appointment makes sense, if you go Chris Hughton, I won't be exactly jumping up for joy with it, but I go, you know, I understand it, I get it, and it could work, and I'll support him. We'll all support him, of course he will. If he comes out with some mad name, or if he comes out with John O'Shea, and I just want to reiterate, if he had to come out with Shea at the beginning and said, look, we're going to support this guy, we're going to give him all the tools to be successful, blah blah blah, he's a young manager, we need to give him time to grow, etc., I would have gone, okay, yeah, that makes sense. If he goes back to O'Shea now, it will go to show that this has been a complete balls up from the start to finish. I'm going to reserve my judgment until we see he was unveiled, and then I'll let rip, or I'll go, actually, yeah, fair enough, nice one. But that will be coming out in on Wednesday or Thursday this week. Just the latest odds: John O'Shea is still the favorite according to Paddy Power, 4-6. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer 5-1. Martin and Nick's favorite, Roy Keane of Martin's favorite, 11-2. Steve Bruce 10-1. Anthony Barry 14-1. And then it goes on Poirier, Carsley, Sagnol, and all that. So who will it be? We will be live whatever day that is announced, Wednesday or Thursday. What did you think? Do you want Solskjaer like Martin does? You had a right hard off for Solskjaer tonight, Martin, didn't you?
I was angry. Defensive.
Very defensive. Defensive. Don't go near a United legend. What with these two? Do you agree with the lads about Solskjaer? What you make of that? Would you like to see him? Do you think it will be him? Who do you out there, our wonderful Roar faithful, who do you want to see as Ireland manager? Get those comments. I see those comments coming in there now. Get some more. We'll get to those towards the back end of the podcast. Tell us what we're about, lads. We're Irish football's most interactive podcast. And for the fans, by the fans. Well, by me, anyway. I'm a fan. The other two, more like Man United fans. We're moving on to the Oibig. Are we ready for a bit of Oibig?
Can't wait.
Yeah, I can hear it, lads. Right, Oibig coming up. Nick, we haven't been able to. We're a bit like the FEI where we have some budget constraints. We don't have any sex jazz music or anything like that to play over this, but get those dulcet tones ready. Get cracking.
Fantastic. Yeah, so some stats from over the weekend. So Troy Parrott, a goal, an assist, and a red card. For Excelsior, they beat Volendam 4-0. So Parrott had a bit of an injury layoff recently, and he's back with aplomb. I think that's his 7th goal of the season and his 4th assist. So a little bit of talk during the week that Spurs will sell him in the summer, and that there is a little bit of interest from Holland and a bit of interest from the Bundesliga as well. So it'll be interesting to see where Troy Parrott goes in the summer. And I suppose a very important milestone for us here. Marco Mahoney, as we know, he made his Premier League debut for Brighton in their 1-1 draw with Burnley. Fantastic goal in that, actually, lads. Did you see it, the Brighton goal?
No, I didn't see it, no.
Did you not see it?
No.
It was an own goal. Goalkeeper missed
it. Oh, I did see it. Yeah. He did see it, actually. The goal. Yeah, he completely fluffed it, didn't he? David Seaman-esque. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, no, very, very grim, and probably going to send them down, unfortunately. Adam Ida, another goal for Celtic in their 3-1 win over St. Mirren. That's his 7th goal in 10 games. Shane Blaney, a last-minute equaliser for Motherwell. They drew 1-1 with Hibs. And Sammy Smodic scoring a goal for Blackburn Rovers. They beat Leeds United 1-0. His 30th goal of the season. And he's the first player to hit 30 goals in the season since Alan Shearer in 1995 to 1996. Thanks for putting that up, Dave.
No problem. I got you back.
Me along. But I think as well, lads, I mean, just not to sway you too far off the conversation, but I mean, no one seems to want to win the championship, do they?
No. Ipswich and Leeds and everybody dropping points, didn't they?
Yeah, Leeds losing, Leicester losing, Ipswich drawing. So crazy stuff, really. And I mean, the three of them are kind of clear. I think Southampton are just behind, but they've been very consistent as well. So it's been fascinating watching that running. Personally, love Ipswich to go up, but they're making it very, very hard on themselves. But yeah, Smodic doing a bit of damage there to Leeds, and be interesting to see where he ends up next season as well. Michael Obafemi, very well taken goal for Millwall. They beat Cardiff City 3-1. And Cousin Will scoring a goal for Southampton, header in the first minute. They beat Watford 3-2. He also got man of the match in that. So a very special day for Cousin Will and the Prendergast family. So Will Smallbone, just in case anyone is new to the show and isn't sure. Promise Omoshere, a goal for the Fleetwood Crack. They beat Northampton, not Southampton, Northampton 2-0. And Boston Lowell, a goal and an assist for Fleetwood Crack as well in that win over Northampton. And Danny Mandrew scoring a goal for Lincoln City in their 2-1 loss to Wigan. And David didn't want me to mention it, but Conor Harahan did get an assist for Derby. They beat Leighton Orient 3-0, so fuck you, Dave. Justice for Connor.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Dave also didn't want to mention that Alisson came in for Liverpool today and dropped your beloved Jesus. Kelleher. How did that go?
He shouldn't have dropped Kelleher. We wouldn't have lost if Kelleher was playing. See what I mean? Also, something that you lads didn't want to mention either. You know, holding up the podcast here. Well, other than Man United, shit. But Wrexham went up. There's the Irish contingent there with the old tricolour.
Yep, James nice. McLean. A hat-trick of assists, actually. Hat-trick of assists over the weekend. And Paddy Madden, who is an ex-Bowls player, it's the only reason I'm mentioning this, he got promoted with Stockport as well. So a lot of Irish men going back into League One. But great for James and the lads.
Way there we go. Just to go back in the Gallagher thing, it did speak volumes that because I think Gallagher just started to fall apart, didn't he, with the United FA Cup game, and he's been a bit ropey, and it just does speak volumes that Klopp actually rushed back Alisson. I mean, he's only back from injury, and he rushed him right back in, didn't he? So
a quick turn.
No, I just call it as it is, Martin. I just call it as it is.
Add Kelleher to the Robbie Brady. Who else? Right, Robbie Brady, Coleman. This is the dream team. Yeah. Written off by Dave.
Not written off at all. Do you know what? I tell you what. Queven Keller, he's a man's man. He stands with the bullies, and he's done a fantastic job at a club like Liverpool. He's actually. I thought he's been really good for Liverpool in Alisson's absence. He's a young lad. He's not that young, but he's younger than you, Martin. A lot younger than you, but you know, he's a good kid. And I think he's going to be our number one come June for the next games. Anyway, how did Gavin Mizuna do?
They won 3-2.
They won 3-2, Dave. My cousin scoring a goal. Don't you listen to it?
No, I did. I just wanted you to repeat it. You know, see the two goals. And how did Burnley do? What was it? Oh yeah, Burnley going places. Yeah, down. Going down. Yeah.
Just to pick one out there, Boston Lowell, we spoke about him before as well, because he's been moved, hasn't he, from centre back into centre midfield, Nick. Yeah, and he's doing really well. And that is a problem position for us. So we have been talking about him a little bit after we kind of got the heads up from the FBI.
It'd be interesting to see what happens to him, because I mean he's on loan from Celtic. I don't think he's gonna come back into the Celtic team, and I think we've seen in recent years, if you're a young player, Celtic probably isn't the place to be. So there might be a bit of interest there. Who knows? Oh. And he's catching the eye.
I know what I wanted to ask Martin, the lover of all things former Man United players over there. Just want to get your reaction, Martin, to reports coming out that the players who in public spoke very highly about John O'Shea and his training methods, but apparently behind the scenes, they're quite unhappy with aspects of the camp, including the length of time spent on the pitch on the day before games.
Yeah, so this is very interesting, right? Is it? Are they saying they spent too long or not enough time? Too long. You know, I wouldn't have that as a coach, as a problem. Like,
if you're not having him as a coach.
No, I'm saying if I wouldn't have it as I'm speaking as a coach, right? Or like, you can't spend too long on a train. If they're professional footballers, you're trying to get your message across. If you think you need to work with them and they haven't absorbed all that information, you spend as long as time as possible. I think, you know, I said it as well before, Obafemi, a little bit harshly done. I'm not saying that he's from him because he didn't get any game time. But, you know, there's going to be players probably were unhappy with not being given opportunities under O'Shea. And I know we had the speculation that he said he would have picked a different team and things like that. But I think I can't have that. I'd like to know a little bit more of where that's
who's upset. Who's upset, John? That's what Martin's saying. Who's upset, my John?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they've upset you, John, have they?
I don't think it would be John O'Shea, though, wouldn't have been doing as much coaching, though, would he? Like, in the manager role. He would have had coaches in with him, wouldn't he?
I'll be upsetting John now. Martin won't be having that. Happy, I laugh if his cousin Will. Family feud. Right, lads, are we ready for the... for the comments section of the programme? We've got a few coming in. As always, we will get to all of them, I suppose, as long as they make sense.
And we do also want to hear about Joe Kinnear.
I'm going to tell you my favourite story about Joe Kinnear. Nick's had enough. It's just getting comfy.
I've run out of battery here, kind of unexpectedly. So,
there you go. You crack on. I've done that a few times myself. We are live. This is the Charm of the Podcast on our YouTube channel. Well, lads, says Craig Breeland. How you doing, Craig? Hope you are enjoying it. Richard Joyce, Roy Keane, fuck Ole. Give him the wheel of the Titanic. Will suit him better. Yeah. Well, he did have the wheel of the Titanic, didn't he? He had United. But of course, it wasn't his fault, Richard. It's not his fault at all, you know? Just a manager, like. West Coaster, this feels like deja vu. Will there ever be a resolution to the manager issue? Asks West Coaster. Well, we hope, West Coaster, that next week, Wednesday or Thursday, we will be live, whatever date it is. It might be a late one, but whenever they announce the next Ireland manager, we will get your thoughts and we will be live. 100%. Bill from Irish Football Blog. How you doing, Bill? Does the Ole story make me an official influencer? Now, not enough people are taking notice that he said he did have discussions with the association.
Under the influencer.
Some of the stuff you come out with, Bill.
To be fair to Bill, he clocked Ollie back in November, I think.
He did, yeah.
Just like I clocked Chris Coleman the night... Kenny got sacked, and that ended up well, didn't it? But no, to be fair, he I know he's a big Ollie fan, Bill, so
yeah,
it was some shout, yeah.
He still never explained that to me, why he was an Ollie fan. I asked him that in the group. I said, Bill, why are you an Ollie fan? Like, honestly. And he never explained it to me. Maybe because he can't explain it to me. More United tribalism bollocks. Stephen Ring. Evening, lads. Been saying Ollie for the job on here for months. It might finally be happening. Oh, Stephen, not you as well. Well, we don't know. I mean, Andy Mitten?
Yeah.
Andy Mitten says no, but then maybe Ollie would say no and say, well, actually, no, you know, I can't really I can't say anything until the FAI unveil me. I haven't signed anything yet. I mean, yeah, we have to, I think one thing we need to talk about, lads, very quickly, actually, and to the Roar faithful out there watching, is that, I mean, this has to be ratified. So Mark Hannum has to go with Jonathan Hill to the board and go, here's our guy. And they have to ratify it before they announce anything.
They might have done that, though. They might have said, look, these three people are the likely candidates, and we're going to now go and offer it to number one, number two, three. Are you happy with us doing it that way? I mean, that's all it is. Because they can ratify that. They might have even done that already. You wouldn't know what they're...
I say what will happen is there's going to be an emergency board meeting probably this week, and that'll be... It doesn't have to be the full board present, as far as I know. You can do it in threes and fours and stuff like that. And they can ratify a job even remotely. So I reckon we will get word of
Jonathan Hill there.
Yeah, but I say we'll get we'll get word of an emergency board meeting, and that will be the manager getting ratified once and for all, hopefully. And, fingers crossed. And
just to touch on what Nick said there, the next scheduled board meeting is the 30th of April with the FAI. But of course, emergency board meeting could be done over a phone, could be a Zoom call, could be done on a train. So we'll see what happens. Brandon Walsh, so after 6 months of trying to find a manager, we're going to end up with a member of the last backroom team that was sacked. I don't think so. I think it's a genuine. Look at you, Martin. You're getting
all harsh.
You're getting all fired up there. I like this. But no, I don't think it is harsh. I mean, he was part of the backroom the backroom team, and that was a mess. Towards the end, that was a mess. Once Anthony Barry left, it was a mess, and he was part of that.
It was. And it went on far too long. And the reason it went on far too long is because it wasn't a fitting candidate to come in as well. Even when it was a hope of qualification or whatever it was, you know, to kind of kick Kenny out and bring someone else in was never going to happen financially, as you said. But yeah, I wouldn't really have John O'Shea being tarred with that. It's the same as Dean Kiely. Like, he was part of it as well. I'd have no problem with either of them being involved with Ireland going forward.
But do you not think, though, that, I mean, I wouldn't blame the whole thing on him, but I do think that there's a bit of substance to that. Like, I do think that should be brought up. I don't think that should be just completely dismissed. You know, listen, if John O'Shea, right, here's the thing. Now, obviously, we saw him in the first game against Belgium. He clocked things that we were on about with the team, aggression, organisation, mixing it all up. And he seemed to clock that straight away in his first game. So was he telling Kenny that, and Kenny wasn't listening? Then why is he on the staff? Or was he not saying anything? That's something I'd like to know. I'd like to ask John O'Shea that, actually, to be honest.
My kind of viewing of Ireland with Kenny at the end and John O'Shea come into it was John O'Shea was very much involved working with the defence to a certain extent, but also set pieces as well, because he seemed to be quite vocal at the end as well, especially the France game, I remember. So I think it was that, and they are all given set roles. One of them will look at the opposition, one of them will look at everything, one of them will be the general coach, like, which I think was Keith Andrews, basically. So
you're mate. Nick, did you want to come in? Yeah. Did you want to come in on that? Well, I'm just saying, we're very fiery tonight. Nick, did you want to come in on that about the John O'Shea thing?
Do I want to come in on Keith Andrews? Absolutely. No, I think. Look, I feel we know from a coaching point of view, Anthony Barry made the biggest impact. I think John Eustace, if he had a bit more time, and Damien Duff as well, I think would have been very successful. O'Shea was there for probably the worst period. I kind of feel Andrews was calling the shots. I know we had an unofficial word from a fan. It wasn't from an outlet or it wasn't from a source, but unofficial word from a fan who seems to be quite well connected, that one of the reasons Damien Duff left the job was because of the amount of say that Keith Andrews had in terms of the coaching. So it wasn't O'Shea calling the shots by any means. Was he saying stuff to Kenny and Kenny wasn't taken on board? I don't know. I think Kenny seemed quite an open guy. But yeah, I think if you they weren't sacked, but I think if you get rid of a coaching ticket and you don't feel that's the direction that you should be going in, you need a kind of clean flush, I feel. But no, it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one, and I think it was convenient and I think it was affordable. So it's more so down to that.
Maybe not. I hope, actually, and I think, Brandon, I think it was a good question. I think hopefully we've given you a good answer. West Coaster, hasn't it been confirmed by credible sources that it's not Ole? Interesting that the FAI spoke to him, though, shows it's casting the net wide and being very discreet about it. Yeah, I think the FAI have, they definitely have done that, haven't they, lads? Far and wide, talking the whole range of different managers, and yeah, very discreet. It's only kind of towards the end, it's all sort of coming out. It's very difficult to keep on the wraps in this day and age. In terms of credible sources, that's Andy Mitten, Martin's mate. And basically, you have a lot of mates, Martin, don't you? Martin's mate, so we don't know. We won't know until Wednesday or Thursday, to be honest. I don't know what to think anymore. Sure, I thought it was going to be Lee Carsley back in about February. And look how that's turned out. I am not making any, well, other than the Chris Hughton one. That's my one. That's the one I'm going to go with that. Craig Dreeland on YouTube. Hey, doing, Craig? Does anyone have any idea what the expected salary is? What did Kenny get? Like 700 grand? O'Neill got 1.6 million. We couldn't afford Ole. Anyway, don't think Kenny got...
Nah.
Got a four...
quarter. Was it a quarter of a million?
I think it was a quarter of a million. I think the expected salary is about 400,000. Am I correct in that?
Foul.
Oh, sorry, 400K. Will I say 400K, Martin? Will I?
You're right.
I'm surprised you can speak with your lips so firmly smashed to Solskjaer's arse, but anyway.
Yeah, the salary's not going to be important to O'Shea, in a sense, and or Chris Ewan. It's not. No. It's about the ambition of doing the job, really, I think, for them. You know, Ewton was barely being paid by Garner in the end. So
he actually got paid in the end.
Well, contractually, he would have been entitled to it. So maybe that is your contractual kind of information that we've referred to.
But I think that goes to show you, doesn't it? That's where we are with the Irish football team, is that you're either going to have someone who's very, very new, beginning out in his journey with Jonah Shea, and he'll do it anyway. He's a wealthy man. And then you have another guy who's kind of coming towards the end of his coaching journey, Chris Hughton. And he'll do it because he probably feels he has unfinished business with the boys in green after being Kerr's right-hand man. And we know how that went back in 2005. Stephen Ring, as United fan, the time when Ole was the most excited and enjoyable time I had post-Fergie. Mine too, Stephen. In two seasons, finished third and second and into a European final. Football was good to watch and he had the best record in the league against Pep. Well, there you go, lads. Stephen Ring, he's one of you.
Yeah, very knowledgeable.
Yeah. Is that your burner account, Martin? We have some well wishes here, lads, Kevin.
Can I just come in with something? There's a bit of breaking news.
Oh,
lads.
Breaking news.
And there's more breaking news to come. The EFL... awards are on tonight, and there's a few Irishmen who have made the EFL Team of the Years. So in League One, Aaron Cashin, and I've gone absolutely blank. Is it Michael Shocknessy? Oh Christ! I'll come back anyway. But basically, the two lads made the two centre halves. The two centre half spots, Conor Shocknessy. Sorry, Conor. So Conor Shocknessy and Aaron Cashin, both in the team of the year for League One, and Sammy Smodics in the team of the season for the Championship. Now, Smodics is up for the Player of the Season award in the Championship, so I'll keep an eye on that as we're going through the comments.
Good man. So Nick will give you any breaking news there. We'll keep it going. Kenny Delahunt. Evening, lads. Evening to you, Kenny. Hope you're having a lovely evening and hope you're enjoying wherever you're watching around the globe, watching Lansing Road. We are the voice of the fans. And that's, you know what I do love about this, is that we actually have Irish fans all around the world watching us. Brilliant. Noel McDermott, Ole and Keane, maybe. I think, Martin, you'd just combust, wouldn't you?
Yep.
You'd love that, wouldn't you? Ole and Keane. Oh, yeah. John O'Shea making the tea. You'd love all of that. Sean Bresnan, evening guys, evening to you, Sean. Kelly Delahunt, if only Klopp for the job, could you imagine it? You'd love Jurgen Klopp then, Martin, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't.
No,
I don't know, Nick. While you're looking at the Player of the Year awards and stuff, see, keep pulling that yellow banner there on Sky, because Klopp could go tonight. He's that man's up for a breakdown. Great. I just hope that anyone who was interviewing him tonight is just patient and he hasn't shouted at them or attacked the ball boy or whoever else he goes for as well.
Oh, Sir Alex, Sir Alex, I love you, Sir Alex. Sir Alex was so nice to all the media. Yeah, if you unless you say something bad about him. Jesus, yeah,
Sir Alex managed to win the league in his last season.
Yeah,
he did. Football managed to do.
Well, to be fair, you know, Liverpool have to cut their cloth accordingly, lads. You know, United, I'm not going to get into that.
All right.
But I do like what John W. Just couldn't think of a witty retort. John W.J. Gorham, Lanzarote should be good man. I should be the Ireland manager. Did a blind job. You bite your tongue. Sean President, of all the names thrown out there, Ole is the one for me. Good man, Sean, I suppose. Hope you're doing well. Craig Dreeland, did Mark Canham not say he already had their man during the John O'Shea press conference? Yes, he did. He said that they had their man and it was just down to, it was the 4th of March and it was down to contractual restrictions that they couldn't announce it. Now, the conjecture in the Irish media is that perhaps whoever he had lined up actually went, nah. And you reckon that could be Gus Poyet. That's what people believe. But we don't know. We don't know, Craig. And that's why I think it's Chris Hughton. I think, and Martin touched on it there, Chris Hughton was probably contractually tied to Ghana for something. I don't think he got a lot of money out, but probably to make sure he wasn't sued or something. Yet again, this is conjecture as well, but that is my...
Just another bit of breaking news there, lads. Kieran McKenna. So Fermanagh born Kieran McKenna, he is the championship manager of the season.
He's the Ipswich lad, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good man.
Fair play. Came through Man United.
Moving on.
Coach United. It was a coach United, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Nick, yeah.
Yeah, Mourinho under Ollie. Brought him in.
Is he under Ollie? Or yeah, Mourinho
brought him in, but yeah, he was under Ollie, yeah. And then he left when Ollie left, yeah. But yeah, so can we claim him?
Oh, he's from the island of Ireland. Yeah, what's it, Mr. McKenna? There you go. He's a Catholic. He has to be Catholic.
Play Gar growing up, so... I think we can.
Nah, played Ga growing up and he's got a Mick in his name, he's ours. Okay. Kenny Dalahunt, I don't think the FBI had a plan when they got rid of Kenny. I think they did. They just didn't execute very well, Kenny. It was supposed to be Lee Carsley, but then that all fell apart. Martin Fitzpatrick, were any of ye in Tulka Park?
No.
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 Sorry, Martin. Moving on. Were you in talk about Martin Fitzpatrick? Stephen Ring, this whole FAI picking a background team stinks of years gone by when they used to select the squads. Oh, the big five, wasn't it? That was the big five, Stephen. And what was his name? He was the first manager. He died. Mick Meegan? He was Mick Meegan. He was the first. Yeah, he was the first he was the first Ireland manager, actually, that got to pick the team. Unfortunately, though, Stephen, I think this time around it's more down to financial constraints and continuity. But that's where we're at. James Agnew, how you doing, James? Evening, lads. I think that people just want this manager search to be resolved. It's been dragging on for far too long. It's embarrassing. We need closure and the new man in place so that we can move on and start to prepare for these Nations League games in the autumn. Actually, just want to touch on James is one of our writers at lanceandroar.ie. So if you want opinion and you want some articles and some fun stuff over there, go over there. James is one of our writers and he does a bloody good job. Actually, lads, I just want to read out a bit of a timeline that James put out for us, actually, in the...
This is very good, actually.
It was very good, wasn't it? So here's the timeline, lads. Just going to take a little break from the comments for a second. Timeline of the FAI search put together by James Agnew, who you can find on lanceandroar.ie. November 22nd, Stephen Kenny departs as Republic of Ireland manager. Late November, according to Lee Carsley, the one and only time he discussed a vacancy with the FAI. 24th of Jan, Roy Keane first publicly declares his interest in the overlap. 9th of February, Nations League draw. Initial target date to have someone appointed by. February 19th, Chris Coleman withdraws from the running. February 28th, John O'Shea appointed interim coach. Martin explodes. March 4th, FAI Director of Football Mark Canham states they have someone lined up. March 23rd and 26th, O'Shea oversees home friendlies versus Belgium and Switzerland. Early April, initial estimation by Canham on when appointment will be revealed. However, this has since been pushed back to later this month. I won't read out his opinion there on that, as he says, because that's not fair. But that's a great timeline there. that James has put together for us. And yeah, he writes for us over at lansandroar.ie, as well as Bill from Irish Football Blog and Connor from Republic of Ireland Player Track. And there's also got some other lads there as well. So check it out. It's lansandroar.ie. Anyway, back to the comments. Sorry, just knocked me off there. Peter M, is there still any possibility it's big Willie Sagnol? I don't think so. He's going to the Euros with Georgia, isn't he? Probably in for a big bonus there, I imagine. Paul Brown, please not John O'Shea. What do you think of that, Martin?
Nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Nothing to say. Well, Martin had a lot to say earlier on the podcast. If you're tuning in late, you can go back and watch it on the YouTube channel. Do hit us a cheeky subscribe. Or you can listen to it on our Spotify as well. Neary Newick, how are you doing, Neary Newick? Said way back in November it would be John O'Shea, simply because he'll be the cheapest option. Still hope I'm wrong. Come on, Neary. Wow, John O'Shea's coming in for a fair bit of flack there, Martin. Still nothing to say to...
No, to like, I don't really understand why he began any flack, but... You know, he's a worthy candidate for it, and it could still be possible that he's going to get the job.
There he is there. You look so happy together, Martin.
We are happy together. We're good friends.
You're right, John, yeah. Right. I really hope the FA aren't watching it. Paul Brown, yeah, I'd be happy with Chris Hughton. Yeah, you know, I think at this stage, Paul, it would sort of make sense. Lee Carnsey was the one I think I wanted. That got the juices going. Make do from that comment what you will. But yeah, I think at this moment, if you said Chris Hughton, and go, okay, it makes sense. I get it. It's a sensible appointment. And I think as well, lads, if Mark Cannon was to appoint Chris Hughton and he was able to come out and go, I think it would actually build him huge credit. And I think we'll put a lot of credit in the bank for him as well in terms of how this could go. Because if he does hire Chris Hughton, and it doesn't, you know, achieve the results we want, you couldn't really blame him too much on that, because it would make sense to hire someone like Chris Hughton, wouldn't it? If he comes out and says, no, Chris Hughton, we just couldn't say much because of the issue with Ghana. You guys put two and two together and got it completely wrong. We said nothing. We kept everybody confidential. I think it make him look really good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would satisfy people in a sense that, yeah, he couldn't do anything, couldn't say, you know, contractually. Yeah.
Describe, make Mark Cannon look credible. I think it would make him actually look credible and look competent. And I say it without a hint of irony.
Yeah, I mean, it won't do if we hear anyone else in the build-up now in the next few days, when things will be inevitably leaked, I'm sure. But, you know, if it does say, oh, they spoke to this person last week, it's the time frame. And James's time frame is very useful there. Even Roy Keane saying, you know, the overlap. Yep. We now know Ollie got spoken to in January. We know Gus Poyet had a conversation. So, yeah, it's that really. We don't know if it's never been confirmed, has it, that they spoke to Chris Ewan? No one's ever said that. So
exactly. So that's why I think it's the one that's going to come out of the bag.
Some breaking news there as well. Semi Smodic somehow didn't get the player of the season. It was Sensio Somerville who won it. Now Dewsbury Hall was up for it as well. I actually thought they'd give it to him because he's probably a future England international. But I don't know how Smodic hasn't got
a load of bollocks.
It is a load of bollocks, you know, because 30 goals for a relegation threatened team. Yeah, so
from midfield, as an attacking midfielder, that is bollocks. Racist. Justice for Sammy. Just
fucking hate Irish and I hate Hungarians as well.
Yeah. Both brothers in arms across the border.
Really ridiculous. And yeah, it's really poor. And do the players vote for the EFL awards, or
it's the player of the year? It's between
players, player of the year, isn't it?
Players, player, isn't it? Yeah,
it's BFA, isn't it? They do the different levels.
It's like he's a cracking player, Somerville. But I mean, you have to put the circumstances into it. Like, how often is a player who's relegation threatened up for the award? And 30 goals is outrageous, you know. So from midfield is outrageous. Now I know the championship, obviously there's a 46 games they play, so it is doable. Yeah, but
for a team in like that, basically serious shit.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fucking shambles. Yeah,
100%. Moving.
If he was English, if he was English, though, well, if he you know declare if he hadn't declared for Ireland, might have been a different story. Who knows?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Edward McDermott, Chris Hughton, or John O'Shea? Newry Newark, and it's good to have you all on again. Threesomes are the best. Your live show, I mean. No, you don't. No, you don't, you saucy bastard. Kenny Dell, hope you're doing well. Kenny Dellahunt, I think it's going to be another League of Ireland manager. Oh, Jesus. Saoirse Morrissey, how you doing, Saoirse? I actually think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did a solid job at United, got another one. But I really can't see him taking the Irish. I'm only joking with you, Saoirse. But I really can't see him taking the Irish job. He could.
Sorka.
Sorka. Not Saoirse?
No, Sorka.
Oh, no,
Jesus, I thought that was Martin talking for a second there.
I don't know. Martin, how would you pronounce that? Doherty, is it? What? How would you pronounce Sorka. That name?
Sorka.
Sorka, yeah. Okay. I tell you what, Sorka, Sorshit, you tell us how to pronounce your name. Because I think they're picking on me, you know, the excellence of elocution over here and having a go at me. What can I say? But I really can't see him taking the job, the Irish job. He would cost too much, in my opinion. We can't afford him or anyone decent. I think, yeah, cost. It has to be a passion project, really, I think, one way or the other. Start a journey or at the very end. Shane Martin, my worst nightmare would be Joe Edwards. Just got sacked by Millwall after 6 months. He's the young, hip option. He's creeping up the list on Paddy Power. I'd love Chris Hughton.
Yeah, I saw that. I think he was with Chelsea and I think he worked for the FA, so Cannon will probably know him, but yeah, I don't know. If he's sneaking up the... He's sneaking awesome. Up the list. That could be the what the fuck appointment, but I don't think so. Like I think he only won like a couple of games in Millwall. He didn't last too long there. So no, I don't think so. But Cannon was probably familiar with him.
Yeah.
He was assistant at Chelsea, I think, with Lampard, wasn't he? And also part of England's, I'm just reading it here, under 20s backroom staff when they won the Toulon tournament.
Oh yeah. I thought he was hard.
Yeah.
Right, moving on. Stephen Ray, Jake O'Brien got an assist for Leon tonight. Good man, Jake. Robbed of minutes, I think, in the two friendlies. Really should have got minutes. Niall Conlon, I'd like to see Roy Keane get the Ireland manager. That's from Niall Conlon in Spittle County, Galway. Niall, hope you are having a good evening.
Great spot.
I hope you're enjoying the show. Yeah.
Love Spittle.
And again, Kazi, they need to just hire O'Shea and be done with it. That was a point raised to me during the week. Actually, and from my mate Frank. Oh, no one's listening, and I'm going to get a text in the morning. Yes, I am listening. But yeah, if we're to believe that the FAI don't know what they're doing, or you know, maybe they're quietly going about their business while we all talk like mad yokes. Yeah, maybe just give it to John O'Shea. If you have nobody right now, just give it to John O'Shea. I'd be done with it. I'd agree with that. Kelly Murphy, I thought I was keeping up with all of this, and then yesterday I'm hearing about Ole. Since when was this? Loves it. Yeah, it just came out yesterday, Killian. Or the day before, I think it was. But it's been dismissed. But sure, what are we to believe these days, you know? Sure, we thought Carsley had a sewn up. Shane Martin, this Edwards guy coached at Chelsea with Tuchel, Everton with Lampard, England under 20s. Ticks a lot of boxes for Cannon, unfortunately. You guys just touched on that. But that was Shane's comment on YouTube. How are you doing, Shane?
Well, it's a good point that he ticks the boxes, don't. That there's a relationship there, but he was very bad with Millwall. Like Millwall were, I think they were they playoff contenders last season. They didn't quite make it, and then their relegation threatened, and they've done very well since. So
to be fair, Millwall are on a, like, they just lost their CEO. Their owner actually died last year in a car crash. Sean Burlesford, very nice man, actually. Met him, really nice guy. And he died in a car crash in America. So I think the Sun's taken over. So they're a club in flux. Just to give a bit of, just to preface that. But yeah, they're a bit of a different club at the moment. And they are struggling. Always seem to punch well above their weight down in South Bermondsey there. That way the cold low end in the new den. I worked there a lot, actually. Good little club. The Ram Jammers, have the two boys ever once laughed at the Guy Davis jokes? Oh my God.
No, never. Never.
At the guy...
I didn't know they were jokes.
That's charming, isn't it? Well, I hope you're enjoying it, the Rama Jammer, whatever your name is all about. and let's be honest, Rama Jammer, you are sitting there laughing at my jokes. They are quality jokes. Don't go stealing any. Stephen Ring, if Klopp was to get the Ireland job, there's no way the FAI could afford all the asthma inhalers for the squad.
Very true.
Well, I tell you,
We won't talk about that. It's a shame. Like, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to talk. I've talked too much about Klopp on this, and like, no, I just hope
on.
He. I just hope he enjoys his last few weeks at Anfield.
Anfield. I see what you did there. Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, though, Stephen. Judging by what came out by John O'Shea, the Irish team don't like to train, or maybe they'd like to train more. We don't know. Martin's going to investigate that, because Martin's not going to have anybody say anything bad about John fucking O'Shea, that's for sure. Or anyone that played for Man United. Peter Smith, Chris Hughton with John O'Shea as right hand will do for me. Poye would make Keane look sane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a bit of a, he is a bit naughty, because Poye, isn't he? Always falls out with whoever he manages. He's a bit of a tetchy fecker. Alan Fay, well, will Ole get the job? I highly doubt it, Alan, but you know what? You don't know. Chris Lacey, two full seasons from Ole, finished second and third, one cup final, three cup semi-finals, and beat Man City four times. Was he really that bad? Statistically, probably the best post-Ferguson. Sorry to hear that, lads. Darren O'Grady, fair play, lads, for dragging this shit show for so long. So much potential players coming through. Looking so disappointing how FAI are. Really hope that they are actually all over it and we're not all appreciating that. Hopefully, Darren.
We probably have no show if this wasn't dragging on.
That's the thing, Darren. I'm not complaining about it. It's given us... Do you know what, though? I've actually kind of, in a weird sadistic way, masochistic way, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit, because it's just been funny. I think it's been a great experience and a learning curve of how the media work. Do you know that, lads? I think that has to be remembered from this, like how the media work. Like literally just putting two and two together. And seeing what they can come out. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah. But like, we've been here before with Irish football, though. Like, you know, we spoke about like how long we've gone without managers before. Okay, not as much as this time, but this time you've got all the the Twitter, you've got everyone speculating, and the FAI are dealing with that quite cleverly and keeping things quiet and in-house, and how they've managed to keep so secretive is amazing, especially with Ireland as well. Like, we do like talking. I think they've done very well with that. And again, part of me kind of perversely in a way thinking it's generated interest in Irish football. You know, you've had I just think this is so unorganized and so much other stuff going on. I think even last week they didn't want to overshadow the women playing the two games. So they keep quiet and they don't talk about things. And now we've got it like, oh, it's been leaked that it's going to be Wednesday or Thursday it's dragging on, it's boring.
It's breaking point now. Yeah, but we've been here before. Like, I mean, the Trapattoni, my first, I suppose, the first gig I had kind of talking about football was, I was on work experience actually with Satanta Sports, and I actually ended up doing a few articles for their website, which is now Premier.
Yeah, Premier Sports. Yeah.
Premier Sports. So that was the first.
I don't know what it is on my Fire Stick.
that was my first intro to I suppose doing football writing and stuff. But basically, one of my little roles that I had was I had to check all the odds. I was only 15 or 16 or something, but I had to check all the odds on the next Ireland manager, and that was like, I think that was maybe October time, and I remember like the Roy Hodgson actually at one stage was the favourite, and Terry Venables, they were the two leading contenders, and then all of a sudden, I think it was around the January time, Trapattoni came into the conversation, and then Trapattoni was appointed way after. But the amount of time that elapsed now, not as much as this, but that's when the FAI had more money, and the backing of Dennis O'Brien, and it took a huge amount of time, and I remember being really, really impatient about it, but this is, as you said, Martin, like the leaks are coming because it's gone to breaking points, and it was ridiculous a month ago, and now it's just people are actually losing interest. I think
I think if there had been announced in February, whoever, it would have been a seamless transition. It would have been like fair play, nothing really came out. You know, one or two little whispers, but nothing really. But yeah, like it's people, as you say, are losing patience. I remember that actually, I read somewhere about the Trapattoni one that. They actually had cut their cloth accordingly because the money that they had. And then all of a sudden Dennis O'Brien came in and said, no, I'll tell you what, name your price, get Trapattoni in. And I went, oh, okay. So they had diligently put all, you know, this list together and all these managers and, you know, budget wise. And all of a sudden it's like, actually, Dennis O'Brien's on board. There you go. Go get Trapattoni. He went, all right, fuck it. He just cleared like the decks and just went and got Trapattoni, which is kind of mental when you think about it. Don't think that's going to happen this time around. Hoagie, how you doing, Hoagie? On YouTube, I read somewhere, I think on Irish Independent, that Chris Hughton was reportedly asked and said he wasn't interested in the Ireland job. That was a while ago, and I think Brian Kerr actually said that as well, didn't he, on telly, on Virgin Media.
Was he still with Gaff? I could be wrong now, and it's interesting to see that, but I think he was still a Ghana manager.
I think he was.
Yeah.
He's probably playing his cards close to chess. Maybe at that time he wasn't interested, and, you know, he might
still not be.
He might still not be. That's very true. But the thing that, you know, it could be a case of he wasn't interested, thought he had Lee Carsley, and then all of a sudden that's all gone pear shaped, and then they'd be working on it. And, you know, are we giving the FAI too much credit? Good man, Martin. That's how you pronounce my name. How did you say, Martin? Doherty?
Sorka.
There you go, Sorka. Well, at least I know now. So I've been saying Sorka.
Beautiful name. Sorry, Dave. Apologize, Dave, for butchering it.
I apologize, Sorka, for saying your name more beautifully than it is. no, sorry,
Dave's cancelled again.
I'll be on cancelled this. Sure, I'm getting in terrible. Be fighting you guys off, getting abuse off this. Some fella's saying that my jokes are shit. Like,
observation. It's an observation that your jokes are shit.
And before, that's the truth. And then, you know, before we even came online, there was people having a go at me. You're all just clickbaiting. I mean, we are, but, you know. West Coaster, my gut feeling is that it's too early for O'Shea. I don't want him ending up like Stan, bitter and forgotten. What I would say to that, West Coaster, I do think it is too early for O'Shea. But what I would say about that is that John O'Shea has already proven that he is light years ahead of where Stan was. And, yeah. I won't go too much into it.
I think if O'Shea had a strong squad, he'd do fine. I think he'd actually command a bit of respect. But I say it every time I'm on the show, lads, and I've said it for the last 6 months or whatever, we're waiting for the next Ireland manager. We have a very young, inexperienced, raw squad, and we have a lot of very, very average players mixed in between these excellent young players. We need an experienced manager who can maximise that pool that we have at the moment. And John O'Shea is not that kind of manager. That's where a Hughton, the football mightn't be sexy, but he might be able to grind out things. He might have more in his arsenal to get the most out of that team. You need to maximize what we have there. We need to get results. We're plummeting down the rankings. We're plummeting down the coefficients. We need results. We need results, and we need a manager who can help with that.
We can get those results. David H. Hi, lads. Late to the pod. I read somewhere, I think, Irish Independent 42, that Hughton asked, and he said he wasn't interested in role. Yeah, we just covered that. And we think it was a Brian Kerr also said in Virgin Media. But, you know, these things change. Jerry Lennon. I'd be shocked if Ole actually took the job. Neil Lennon has been a man for the job since the beginning and has been swept under the rug. To be honest, Jerry, he's got far too much baggage. Neil Lennon, a lot of personal stuff going on there. Won't mention it on here, but if you type his name in, a few years ago, he had a fledgling career a few years ago. At Celtic, did quite well, but a lot of personal stuff, a lot of water under the bridge. We won't mention it on here, but just type his name in and let the magic happen, shall we say. Neri Nurik, if Ole was so great, he'd still be at United. This man, he talks sense.
He's a Liverpool fan, isn't he? Jesus.
I don't know who knew him. I've never met Neri Nurik. I don't know who he is. What? No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't know who he is, Martin.
Okay.
His name is Neri Nurik. Yeah. Who's that? But he's a wise man. He's a very wise man, is Neri Nurik. But yeah, that's right. If he was so great, he'd still be United. Instead, you have Ten Hag. Neil Fenton, FAI dragging this out as long as possible in order to save money. It's obvious.
Finances are huge. It's a massive issue, but I don't think they've helped themselves with the backroom issue.
Mm. I mean, I think that's an interesting take, actually, from Neil. It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, but it is a massive issue. Like, when you think about it, right, they haven't had a senior manager since November. So what's that? November to December, January, February, March, April, 5 months, maybe 6 months. That's a huge saving of salary, isn't it? When you think about it, whether it's on purpose or not, it's a massive saving of salaries, that, isn't it? If it's, what would that be? Go on, Martin, you're the money man. What would that be? How many tickets would that get?
Well, 460 divided by five. Well, half, basically, 230. So less than two, half that salary, I suppose.
So you saved about 230 grand, so to speak.
Possibly, but, you know, you can't take... Well, I don't know. Did the FAI pay holidays? I can't remember. you know, has he got travel commitments and things like that? Yeah, it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility for it, would it? But
Smart. To a degree, smart. How many tickets would that buy you, Martin? No, never mind. Darren O'Grady, Martin, is the lack of news because FAI are so tight or because they haven't got a clue? So nothing to leak. Martin, that's for you.
Keeping it quiet because there's a lot of distrust in the FAI still because of some of the activities of certain personnel. And yeah, it's just kept between the board and Cannaman Hill, basically. Which would be a fantastic cop show, wouldn't it? Cannaman Hill. Like, be all right.
They don't do anything.
Like
Lyle and Scott. Yeah. Cannaman Hill. Yeah. It's like a golfing range or something like that.
We'll do the t-shirt. Cannaman Hill.
What I'll say is there, Hill's reputation is in tatters, and he's only got himself to blame for that, by the way. Cannam's reputation is riding on this appointment. I want to believe Mark Cannam, and I say it without a hint of irony. Of course I want to believe him. He is our technical director. And if he hasn't got a clue, we're well and truly fucked. But let's see. Let's see what gets unveiled next week. That is really going to be the big one. It's his first senior men's appointment. And
we'll know as well as financially as well. Because, you know, the FAI, we know they have a good accounting system and fantastic auditors who check all those things as well. So we'll soon know how much it cost us or how much they saved for the 6 months.
Wow.
They'll be up around. Surely that someone in the Oroctus will be asking that the next time they're up there.
When is the next time they're up there?
Exactly.
Do we know? Glenn Forbes, are we at the point yet where the FAI will do an online competition for a new Ireland manager? Send us your name, email, and tell us why we should pick you for the role. Runner-up gets a €10 Castori gift card. So, like my mate Frank said to me, he goes, just hold an open day at the RDS or something. Aiden,
do you know what? There's people in the FAI who have like initialed gear. So they might actually save a few bob if they just gave the job to someone there. They don't necessarily have to have any footballing knowledge or experience or competency, but...
Wow. Lads,
No comment.
I'm sensing a bit of negativity there. And what I will say is, and I know I'm going to get lots of abuse for this, what I will say is there are good people at the FAI
who do
a lot of good work. And unfortunately, when your CEO, let's be honest, is having a complete nightmare, it looks bad in everybody, but there's some good people at TFEI that are absolutely trying their best under very trying circumstances, and we need to appreciate that.
I think another, actually just on that, now there's also a lot of, having been involved in schoolboy football, there's some horrendous people in the FAI as well, but having said that, Mark O'Mahony making his debut yesterday, that's the fourth Irish teenager. Now, Nathan Fraser obviously didn't grow up in Ireland, but you've Evan Ferguson, you have... Alex Murphy, and you have O'Mahony yesterday. There's been a lot of teenagers to make the Irish born, raised, trained Premier League teenage debutants over the last decade. So I think people go in for the grassroots very, very quickly. They'll slag off the grassroots and they'll say, oh, there needs to be more investment in grassroots. Considering the lack of investment in grassroots, a lot of the clubs are doing an unbelievable job. You look at Cork City, you look at likes of Belvedere, Kevin's in particular as well. So I think you have to give a huge amount of credit to some of the clubs, some of the schoolboy clubs. And as I said, there's people, not everyone in the FAI, but there are people in the FAI who are actually preventing schools in particular from playing football matches, and shame on them, because they've done a lot of young lads and young girls absolutely no favours. But the commitment from coaches on the ground, a lot of them volunteer coaches, A lot of them actually, to be fair to them, coming through the FAI pathway with the coaching badges and the coach education is fantastic there. Huge amount of credit there. Huge amount of credit there.
Okay. Moving on. Aidan Devere, who is the next manager going to be? I reckon Chris Hughton. Very quickly, Martin, who?
Ewan.
Nick?
John O'Shea.
John O'Shea. There you go. Two Ewans and O'Shea. Actually, we might all, both of them might be involved. We might all be right somewhere. Peter Smith, Ori Demerit to the FAI keeping a good secret. I'm inclined to believe it's more about what Mark Twain said. It is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you were a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. It's very likely the FAI don't have a bloody iota. It's very philosophical, that, Peter. Yes, look, I mean, that could also be the case as well, but it could also be the case that, you know, Mark Canham has just sat back, got on with his job, probably hasn't got his number one target, and everyone else has just sort of gone around mad. We're not known for our patience, are we, Irish football fans? So who knows? We'll see next week. Darren, I'm not even going to attempt that surname. Nick?
O'Harchneja. That's my best attempt. Evans is a heart.
Darren, like, O'Harchneja.
We've had Darren on commenting before, but it's a name I actually haven't seen before. Lovely name, though.
That was a lovely name, actually. Nick, Martin? No, never mind.
Jesus.
We're very feisty tonight. I like it. Jesus. We're all having a go, pop at each other. Darren, do tell us, by the way, give us a phone. If I have asked you this before, I do apologize, Darren. I do not know what day it is most of the time. Heart and age, but it's a very nice name. And what does it translate to in English? We probably have asked you before this, and I do apologize. But anyway, he's obviously a Bose fan. We'll read out his comment. Good win against Damien Duff Shelbourne. Did you see the celebration that the lad scored a goal?
Dylan Connolly, fair play, Dylan.
I'm taking the piss out of Damien Duff. Anyway, I know you're not a fan.
I know it. Hartnett.
Oh, Hartnett. I had a teacher call. You Miss Hartnett.
There you go.
Oh. It's actually Harness.
Was it Hartnett?
Harness.
Yeah, usually
Hartnett.
Harness.
Hartnett.
Sorry. Martin. Oh,
Martin.
Fuck's sake, Martin.
Repeat after me. Anyway, I know you're not a fan, but I'd like to see Steve Bruce. Highly experienced, has worked at the highest level, worked with similar type of players. He's always liked Irish players, 7-1 stage with Hull. That's true, actually. I mean, obviously had a chance to play for, almost had half a chance to play for Ireland at USA 94 until the whiskey nose, sorry, Sir Alex, as you like to call him, stopped him. Maren, just putting it out there, because we know Alex Ferguson hated Ireland. But yeah, yeah, sure he does. He robbed us of Roy Keane's best years. But I think Steve Bruce, he's probably 10 years too late for Steve Bruce.
Yeah. I was going to say he'd be a similar one to Hughton, but actually he wouldn't. I think it's been well documented that Hughton is very enthusiastic in terms of upskilling, and he pays attention to modern coaching techniques and that kind of thing. I don't know with Bruce, but like Bruce always kind of picked up jobs, didn't he? And not like bad jobs or anything. You look at someone like Mark Hughes and he ended up in League Two, where Bruce seemed to always get kind of championship jobs, Premier League jobs. He got teams promoted. Again, like someone of that profile, that little bit older, maybe that little bit more old school in terms of their playing style, it all kind of depends on coaches. I mean, where we are now and with all the people who've been ruled out, he could end up, because wasn't there meant to be a benefactor funding him? Do you remember that came out a while ago?
Yeah, what was Eddie Jordan? Or he said it was a benefactor. Was that the one?
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't have Bruce. But I mean, where we are now, like Carsley's out of the running, Barry's out of the running, O'Shea seemingly is out of the running. Like, you know, it's
Bruce, you know,
what's the alternative? is there a better alternative?
I could see Bruce I wouldn't want Bruce out, but I could see it working because he's not a terrible manager. you know, he's very obviously he's kind of now he's an old school manager, I suppose, in a way.
I think he grind out results, but I think the football would be wouldn't be very easy on the eye. And he used that kind of five at the back at Hull, didn't he? And he would have had Robbie Brady there and a lot of Irish players who've retired now, you know, your Paul McShane's, your David Myler, Stephen Quinn's, and Shane Long and stuff like that. But like, no, I not for me, but as I said, we could end up with worse. You know, we could actually end up with worse.
We couldn't.
People will actually say, "Jesus, I would have preferred Steve Bruce."
Nah, I still think it's going to be Eden. Neric, you could tell how great a manager he is by opposing fans' reaction to his departure. United fans delighted Klopp is leaving Liverpool, whereas Ollie sacking wasn't cheered on Merseyside. This guy, whoever he is, Neric, he talks sense. He's on my wavelength, Martin. I don't know about you. Yeah, absolutely. Because you are absolutely chomping on the bit, Martin, for Klopp to leave Merseyside, aren't you? I can't wait for it. You're obsessed with him.
I'm glad for his own mental health because he's failed at Anfield. He's won one Premier League in lockdown.
And that's a failure.
And
it was actually won well before that, but anyway. Yeah.
Still celebrated that day in front of an empty cup where they got the trophy and shouted about
it. A bit like Old Trafford, really, isn't it? Probably actually more atmosphere to an empty cup than an empty cup than there is.
Shouted about Man United. I'm just delighted for the referees, media, and ball boys and anyone else. And we won't have to see that silly little fist pump thing he does as well. So, anyway.
Just going to say, Alex Ferguson.
Dave is going to miss the fisting because he's a big fan of it. So.
I love a good fisting. it's nearly 11 o'clock, so actually we're going to look to come to where we're closing in on the end. There's been loads of questions coming. Keep them coming. We will.
More joking here, please. We're going to talk about Joe. Just
more quickly. More Joe.
Well, there's been no Joe. Poor so Joe. A few Joe.
Bit more of Joe. Go on. Sorka. Thank you, Martin. And no problem, Dave. The curse of an Irish name. Very gracious there by Sorka. Thank you very much. And we hope you are enjoying the podcast, as always, Sorka. Mark Lush, well done to all the Irish players at Wrexham AFC this season. Luke McNicholas, Tom O'Connor, Owen O'Connell, Anthony Ford, and James McLean. It hasn't come through, but there's some Irish lads going through there.
Bit of trivia. Who's Owen O'Connell's cousin?
Paul.
Correct.
Oh. Did you actually know that, Martin, or were you actually guessing and you just want to look all knowledgeable?
I just thought O'Connell with the name.
Fair. Glenn Forbes, shout out to Adam Ida, who's knocking
him in. It's
not
a trick, is it? It's not a trick, is it? Knowledge. It's not a trick. Go on.
Glenn Forbes, shout out to Adam Ida, who's knocking him in at Celtic. Good move for him. Yeah, he's done really well there. Maybe a permanent move.
I'm delighted with that because the amount of abuse he got from Celtic fans when he signed. And now they're all saying, oh, let's sign him permanently. They're hilarious.
It is funny.
Not all of them. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them. It's hilarious.
Stephen Ring, if they end up appointing a manager that no one is happy with, does Hill's job become untenable? I don't think it'd be him. I think that'll be more a Mark Canham. Because Canham's direct, but basically Canham goes to Hill. Correct me if I'm wrong, Martin. Canham goes to Hill. These are my recommendations. And Hill goes with Canham to the board. That's how it works.
Pretend he's heard of them, is it?
I think Canham's more involved with the board, though, as well. I think it's near enough an equal kind of thing, in a sense.
But in terms of Hill's job becoming untenable, I think it's already on, probably. I mean, it is holding on by a pubic hair at this rate. I couldn't think of any other euphemism. I mean, one more fumble and he has to be gone. But we'll move that one on. Glenn Forbes, you think the FAI are waiting till Ten Hag leaves by mutual consent? Jesus, no. God. Frank Grimes, it's going to be Allardyce, but there's a hint of Mike Bassett being the manager of him. It'd be funny if it was Allardyce. Nah, ha, funny. Neil Fenton, this Irish job is too important to go 6 months without a manager. We need someone studying players, making plans, keeping in touch with squad members, etc. Poor from the FAI. Neil, I agree with you there. I wasn't too mad at missing the March games. Not ideal, but not the end of the world. But basically, yeah, we need somebody in for the June internationals, especially when you're coming we're coming to the end of the season. Hartnader, yeah. Good attempts, lads. It translates to Hartnett, Irish name due to my job. and well pronounced O'Hartney. O'Hartney. O'Hartneyda. Sorry, easy for me to say, but that's what Nick guessed, and you were correct. Glenn Forbes, Garasuke was not a great club manager, but has done very well on the international level. I would have never anticipated that. So Steve Bruce or a similar underachieving league manager might do really well internationally. If Brendan Rodgers were to come free, I think he could do very well. I take Brendan Rodgers. I think he's a fabulous coach, but it's just not going to happen, unfortunately. And the last comment, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Joe, and then we're going to get out of here. Newry Newark, the wise man, Newry Newark, whoever you may be, the season Joe Kinnear did that press conference as a secret tribute. My charity quiz team name was Your Account.
Yeah, Your Account.
I'm really not on the ball today. Yeah, that is. Oh, that one was Simon Bird. I was going to play it on here, but I thought, no. Dave McGuinness, another 2 to 3 weeks, and he's have to start lining up with Shaver Interim again for the June window. Good point, David. And that is what we're going to end on here in terms of the comments. Just a little bit about Joe. Yeah, my favorite moment. Very good manager. We did an episode of him. Actually, it's the management series Nick and I did. Probably one of our most successful Premier League Ireland managers, to be honest. Did a great job at Wimbledon. Very unfairly, I think, treated. But I do love that press conference he gave. And he called Simon Bird the C word. Do you remember that? What was his first day in Newcastle? Or a second night in Newcastle, and he went in. It is out there on YouTube. It's brilliant.
Well, Houghton ended up doing the pressers for him, didn't he?
That was probably for the best.
Yeah. It's just interesting, though, isn't it? You know, how I suppose that probably propelled Houghton into being a number one as well, because he was able to deal with that media pressure and what was going on. So, interesting. One Irish manager to another.
That's true. Yeah,
he was good. Like, he lived not far from me in North London. He lived in Mill Hill. Jokingly, and he used to drink in a pub called the Orange Tree. And my story of Totteridge Lane is where Mike Ashley lived. Big mansion houses and everything like that. Northwest London, Arsene Wenger's around there. David Dean, Arsenal, all that kind of set is around that area. And the rumours were that Mike Ashley just used to drink in the Orange Tree. There was a pub there, the Orange Tree, on Totteridge Lane. And that's where he offered Joe Kinnear the Newcastle job, just because he used to drink in there. And then, because he'd been out of football for so long, hadn't he? And then he came back in.
Yeah.
So it was a really weird thing. And yeah, just he was so old school coming back into it that time, wasn't he?
That
just
was great.
No etiquette and no understanding probably of the modern kind of Premier League kind of, you're going to be on Sky now, Joe. So careful what you say.
It was so funny when they were on about Ashley Kinnear, the Cockney Mafia, get him out. He's like, Cockney, I was born in Dublin, which he was. Born in Dublin. Yeah. And of course, I remember when he was on the panel for USA 94, and he was asked before the Italy game, on RTE, he was asked what he thought the result would be. And he said 1-0 to Ireland, total control in midfield, because we were playing a 4-5-1 system back then. And he was right, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was absolutely right. Joe Kinnear, I mean, a great character of football. Really good manager as well. Did wonders with Wimbledon. Anyway, lads, we're going to leave it there. A bumper episode, as always. Thank you for coming on. Also, to our wonderful Raw Faithful, thank you very much for tuning in. Now, the chances are the next episode we're going to do could be a live reaction episode. So don't miss that. That will be yet again on Facebook and YouTube. It will be later on because we do have other jobs that we do. But we'll let you know when it's announced. We're going to do a live reaction episode because it's coming this week, Wednesday or Thursday. We think the next Ireland manager is going to be announced. So don't miss out. That will be on our YouTube and our Facebook. And as always, hit that subscribe button here on the YouTube channel. We are trying to grow it, so we would very much appreciate it. If you're new to the pod, please hit that subscribe button. Subscribe to the channel. It does really help. We are trying to grow it. You can scan that QR code there. Head over to our Facebook, Instagram, and our Twitter. And if you want opinion, head over to lansdownroar.ie. That is lansdownroar.ie. That's it for another episode of Lansdowne Roar Live. We will be back at the same time next week, 9:30. And we will have State to Play during the week. And perhaps, well, we'll have a live episode during the week when the FEI, please God, announce the next Ireland manager. We hope. I'm David Dunn. He's Nick Menzies. That down there is Martin Prendergast. This is Lance and Roar Live. We're out of here. Have a good night and God bless.